Please be seated. In our gospel passage, Jesus is describing himself, his role, and what will happen to him. He's foretelling his death and resurrection, and he is telling this to his disciples in ways that, as usual, they don't quite understand. Imagine the quizzical looks on their faces as they respond to his statements. We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus answers to clarify, but may not have helped them too much. His answer is an illustration. The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light. Does this mean that the intensity of light changes? Does it mean that light is elusive? That we only have it occasionally? That at times we can't see? Well, in a word, yes. Earlier this month, a book of letters and journals written by Mother Teresa was published. The journals reveal that when she was young, she had a close and intimate encounter with God. This encounter, which she described as a voice, directed her to go to India and work with the poor. And, according to her journals, she never experienced the same sense of intimacy with God again. In fact, she writes that she felt alone, estranged, abandoned. Mother Teresa? Abandoned? Her doubts lasted from 1959 until her death in 1997. In a recent review of the book, James Martin writes, "After founding the Missionaries of Charity and beginning her work with the poor, darkness descended on her inner life." He continues, "In 1957, she wrote to the Archbishop of Calcutta about her struggles, saying, quote, 'I find no words to express the depths of darkness.'" What? Even the saints experience feelings of God's absence, of being cast adrift? I find this oddly comforting. If Mother Teresa can feel estranged from God, then the rest of us can certainly feel that times of dryness or a sense of distance from God are not unusual. But what did Mother Teresa do? Even though she felt the darkness, she kept doing the work she felt initially called to do. The key, I think, is to keep going. And as we do, we find the path is illuminated by other people, lighting our way. Other people may shine the light for us, and most probably other people did this for Mother Teresa. I ask you to think a minute of someone you have met or been taught by or work with who, for some reason, you just want to be with. Someone who reflects a light that is life-giving and grace-filled. This person could have a gentle, steady glow, or be a light like hot coals with a deep, warm glow. The light may be a flash coming only on occasion, at the birth of a child, or when an unexpected achievement is attained. Whatever form this takes in the people we know, it is light. And now imagine and know that Jesus was all of it. The disciples saw his light and followed him. They followed Jesus through some incredible events, weddings, improbable healings, and confrontations with Pharisees. They walked with him on rocky, dusty roads. Why did they keep following him? They were all following the light. They wanted to be near him, to understand. After all, they got to see his eyes light with joy as he smiled at children along the way. They got to see Jesus smile when there was a beautiful sunset to share. We would like to be in constant communion with God, to walk as children of the light as Jesus directs us. But Jesus, all-knowing, says in our scripture, "Walk while you have the light, so that darkness may not overtake you." He knows that the darkness exists, and he says so. He knows it can overtake us. After all, today's date is September 11th, and that day, 15 years ago, was one of the darkest days in our nation's history. But Jesus encourages us to walk with the light. This is made even more possible through community, through each other. When I feel the light waning as I walk through a dark time, I can move close to you, whose light is shining brighter. We can walk together. At times, we may walk in groups. Martin Luther King Jr. said that it only takes one light to vanquish the darkness. One candle, one even flickering candle, vanquishes the darkness. If even one of us has light to share, we can see our way to continue the work we're called to do. If all of us are carrying the light, we have a bonfire that beats back the darkness, a fire we can gather around all during the night. It's Holy Cross Sunday. What does this scripture message from John about light and darkness have to do with the cross? There are many ways to view the cross, and I have examples for this. Both are extremely complex, but for today, I'm going to simplify. One way is to see it empty of Christ's body, as a symbol of victory, of resurrection, of Easter Sunday morning, of hope. Sometimes the brightness of this cross, if burnished and polished, much like the cross above the altar, this brightness sometimes can reflect flaws or reveal them that we don't want to see. It's glorious and revealing and possibly painful to see our flaws. Another way to see the cross is filled with Christ's body. This one's heavier. To see the reality of the suffering, the painful burdens of sin, the injustice of unwarranted execution, of the darkness that afternoon on Golgotha. But even through this dark image, if we strain our eyes, we can see that the light of love is present. I know, it's very hard to see on this graphic crucifix, but it's there. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus loved us, so loved us that he was willing to stand against the political and religious powers of the day to cause a revolution of heart. A revolution born from his teachings, which continues today. He was and is the light. He taught us, blessed are the poor in spirit. Was Mother Teresa poor of spirit? It seems her journals and letters indicate that. But she continued in her work. Something continued to draw people to her to aid her work. Thousands of people came to Calcutta to help the poor and dying. Others began work modeled after her example all over the world. She worked in Jesus' name, in his light. We live and believe as children of the light, but darkness exists, and Jesus acknowledges it. He knows the darkness is looming, that his physical death is coming. I really feel for the disciples. It's no wonder they couldn't get their heads around the idea of his own forecast of death, especially when he was talking about light. How bereft they must have been when he was executed. When the darkness seemingly enveloped the light. But somewhere in the darkness there is beauty, life. Mother Teresa was light to those shunned by humanity because of their poverty, who were living in the darkness of abandonment. On September 11th, 2001, people, complete strangers, helped each other, died together in acts of voluntary compassion. There are many stories of acts of mercy and kindness, lights shining in the darkness. Jesus is crucified by darkness, evil, and sin. Resurrected life comes from the darkness of Jesus' death. The cross and Jesus' resurrection means that we are with the light always, that the Messiah remains forever. We can always walk with the light, sometimes two by two, sometimes in groups, sometimes alone. And because of the life and death of Jesus and his mercy and grace, the darkness does not overtake us. Amen.